Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood with my co-host, engineer extraordinaire, Ronan Rosner.
Hello.
How are you?
I don't know.
It's one of those days.
Yeah, you know, that's
That's
a Jewish in me.
Oy vey.
I don't know. What's going on with that week? I mean, Chris Cornell.
Ariana Grande. That was crazy. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, of course. That's Manchester
terrible.
Last night.
I mean, what are people are just getting dumber and more reckless. And just like in a really ridiculous way. Yeah. Chris Cornell, I know you and I are both fans.
Yeah.
We were texting about it. And you know, I've been actually going through old like YouTube videos of him performing acoustic, performing with Audioslave, performing with, you know, Soundgarden. I mean, it's just so sad.
Temple of the Dog.
And they're saying that it was based on his anxiety medicine, which is crazy.
Yeah, he's got seizures, so he's taking this medication.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's supposed
to, for anxiety.
Yeah, no, as a side effect of it, it also helps with anxieties, but then he got paranoid. I don't know why.
You know what? It's like Robin Williams too, one of my favorite actors and comedians. You know, he changed his meds and it took him to a very dark place.
Yep.
And it seems to be this trend amongst like musicians and artists that kind of go through this, you know, kind of cycle of life where all of a sudden they feel like they're in desperation, and it's so sad. I went through it my own saxophonist. That was the first time it the door was kicked wide open. And you know, it's kind of sad to see all these great artists going through these battles, no matter what their levels of success and reach are, that, you know, everybody gets the same, and they fight these demons. But
yeah,
I think the bigger issue is like, what are in these drugs that people are taking?
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we don't really know what, like, everybody's kind of like a guinea pig.
Yeah, just smoke pot.
I agree.
Why are you taking all those medications?
I totally agree. Keep it natural. And you know what? The other thing too, it's like, I think because everything is so internet heavy and computer heavy, it creates more social anxiety naturally because there's less human contact. So I feel like people are naturally more anxious in social situations because they're also more isolated.
Yeah.
Never before are we more connected in more ways and less in like face-to-face, you know, communication is had. Even when you go out to dinner, you see people just like on their phones.
True, true.
You know, like doing
Have
stuff.
You seen Aziz Ansari's, what's that
no.
called? The TV show that he's got. So
I've heard about it.
Second season now, and the last episode was about that, you know, dating, and he's sitting with the woman and she's like on her phone. Yeah.
You kind of have You have to make a rule.
Yeah.
What about you? Do your kids have cell phones yet?
No.
So
too young.
You haven't started that.
No.
You're like, I'm not going to let them have a cell phone until they're 74.
But you know what kids have nowadays? They got those they look like those, you know, like iWatch or smartwatches.
Yeah.
And they can, it's like a walkie-talkie. It works on the cellular.
That's
so if
crazy.
The parents have the, you know, like Verizon, whatnot, they can actually talk with their parents, you know.
That's
so
awesome.
Or the parents can call them and just show.
They can't go on Wi-Fi.
Calls. Yeah, no dialing, no data, but just communicating with the parents. It's, I don't know. I think it's too much. I mean, nowadays you got GPS chips.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, bracelets, all kinds of ways to, you know.
Yeah, and my girlfriend was saying, she said that she thinks sometimes her cell phone listens to her. Because
it does,
she,
you know, by
like,
the way.
Yeah, yeah. Because she was like mentioning something in conversation, and then on Facebook there's an advertisement for something that related to
her. Right. I mean, welcome to the 21st century.
Big Brother is watching and listening.
All the those Alexas and those devices and Google Home or whatnot, they're listening.
Yeah.
And yeah, your phone is listening because the apps are always running in the background.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's like when a couple of weeks ago, and they discovered that the Uber app on iPhones, even though you uninstall it, it leaves some code there, so they keep on, you know, knowing where you're going and whatnot.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it bypassed all the security layers of the iOS, the operating system for the iPhone, that keeps spying on you.
That's wild.
Ridiculous.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Creepy. A little bit creepy.
It is.
And, you know, you don't know what they're using it for, too. That's the weird thing. Mm-hmm. You don't know what they're using the data, like what they're searching for. And
well, basically, anything that relates to what they can sell to advertisers.
Right.
Or like you said, she spoke about something and she saw a targeted ad.
Yeah.
So every little bit, you know, where you're going, all the stores, you know, all of us have the location services on, Wi-Fi on, Bluetooth on. You go to a store, like a department store, and their Wi-Fi systems detect your phone and they see where you're going and around. Now, they don't necessarily know who you are because each device has what is called MAC address, so a unique address that identifies it.
Wow.
But if they can follow you and correlate that information with, say, cameras, and eventually if you go to the cashier and buy something and you're using your membership, you know, whatever card you got, you know, so they know you went to the men's shoes department, you went to, you know.
I think it's even crazy that I will look for something. Let's say I'm on Amazon and I'm looking at chess sets.
Yeah.
Something random on my computer. And then I go out to dinner, I'll look on my phone and an advertisement for a chess set will come on.
Yeah, cookies.
Facebook. That's crazy.
Because they
link it to
document,
my phone.
Yeah, they document.
But from my home computer to my phone are linked.
Because it's the same account.
That is nuts.
Yeah, logged crazy. In. You don't log out of your app. So all your apps and the desktop applications are all logged in all the time. The same account. So.
Wow, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Scary the world we live in a little bit, right?
And then Roger Moore, you know, Sir Roger Moore.
Dude, you know, A View to a Kill was my favorite Bond movie.
Was it?
Because he was the Bond I grew up with. And A View to a Kill, Christopher Walken, Grace Jones. I mean, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad loves Sean Connery, so I watched a lot of the old ones, too. But I didn't grow up with Sean Connery like my dad did, you know?
Yeah.
So my James Bond is Roger Moore.
Yeah, I agree. Mine also. Sean Connery, I was too young. And then, you're talking about late 70s, 80s, Moonraker. Oh, my God, with that guy, Jaws.
So good. So good.
And the scene at the end where making six in zero gravity. Oh, my God. Yeah.
He lived a good life.
Yeah.
He definitely was not one of the have-nots. He definitely lived the life of the haves, you know, or so we think, you know. I saw U2 on Sunday.
Oh, yeah,
that
Pasadena,
was
right?
Badass.
Yeah.
That was badass. I think our guest did, too,
because
I can tell by the concert church he's with. But that was badass.
Yeah, they're and always got great shows.
They're always so good. And it was the Joshua Tree record.
Yeah.
They were celebrating that record.
Yeah, so 35 played, years or so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a monumental.
It was amazing. It was definitely like one of those moments. The bummer was my brother was supposed to be there, too, but he's like gallivanting all over Europe. So
nice for him.
Yeah, good for him. But I was like, I always see you, too, with him. It was the first show I didn't. So I was like, man, I kind of miss my brother. My brother should be here now. Where is he? But man, what an amazing way to just experience that album, experience the show, and the band is still killing it. They're just amazing. They're amazing. And they sell it out. I mean, they sell the
always,
Rose Bowl. That's
always.
Just crazy. So it was fun weekend. And it was sad with all the other stuff that's going on in the world. But, you know, the next night after, I think last night was the Ariana Grande thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could have happened at a U2 concert. And
oh,
it's
yeah?
just like, who would ever think that there's going to be a bomb explosion going off at a U2 concert. You know what I mean?
So or any concert. Yeah. And and they're talking about what happened in Manchester. It's all like kids.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like somebody had to be so evil to do that. You know what I mean?
That's the organization that took responsibility for it, which we won't mention.
Yeah, of course.
They're evil. They're pure evil. Right. They represent everything that's worst in humanity.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
In that sense.
They're just the dregs of
hatred,
world culture.
Yeah, and just killing as many as non-believers to their whatever belief.
It's just so dumb. It's like, you know what? Like, relax. Relax, everybody. Just, you know, take a chill pill. Or a chill smoke, right?
Exactly. Right? Enjoy the concert.
I agree. It looks like our special guest has arrived. Comedian Lang Parker, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that.
I was listening to you, and I gotta just add just a couple things because I was listening.
Please.
I don't mean to eavesdrop.
No.
But that one group that you were talking about that you won't name their name, I wouldn't give them the name of evil. They're pussies.
They need pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
That's a problem.
That too.
Maybe
that
get too. Laid more.
Yes, I agree.
Yes, I was at U2, and
Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
I was at Sunday too. Awesome.
Didn't you find it was? You got the list. You could have no backpacks. Now, wasn't it ironic?
Yeah.
The next day.
Yeah.
That thing happened with a backpack.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Is there intel going on? Why? Because you could not bring. You had to only have small clutches and bags that were see-through and no backpacks. They will not allow it.
The weird thing too, there was a cop. There was a cop or a group of cops holding automatic Shield? Weapons. Did you see that?
Ooh. No, but I saw a couple dudes with
guns
in
their
thigh.
And here in Pasadena? At the concert?
Yeah.
At the Rose Bowl?
And it was a trip to see that. I was like, and I didn't think about it until the Ariana Grande thing. It was like, whoa, this is heavy.
Yeah.
At a concert where it should be music, fun, everybody having some drinks and enjoying some live music. Something as simple as that. Now it's like, it's just like people ruin shit. It's like, dude, come on. Like, what is wrong with a little bit of rock and roll, you know?
Exactly. Now, all right, the U2, yes, first time ever, first time watcher. I was disappointed in the first four songs or whatever it was because I was in nosebleed. And why didn't they put on the screen? They were a little amoebas up on there. I'm like, I can't see you, Bono, what the hell your name is. And I'm just like, I want to see you. I want to see sweat, blood, tears.
Yeah.
And I had to wait till not halfway through the show, but
about three quarters of the show.
It was a while.
Yep,
yeah. And
I remember
and
that.
Finally the screen came on and then you could see them, but very artsy.
But it was like distorted.
I loved it.
It was
distorted. I'm like, are we that vain? We don't want to look at your age or whatever. I met him. He still looks good. I do. I'm okay.
You got to meet him on Sunday?
No, I met him at Julian Lennon's art party and I got
look
my picture taken with him.
That's amazing.
That was a goal of mine, sweetheart. Man. I was like, oh yes.
Like,
I'm
going to
get
this
street credit if I get my picture with him. Suck it. Yeah, it was beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that was your first time seeing you too?
First time.
Wow.
I liked it, but there were a couple songs weren't hitting the notes, but I get it. It's 30 years old.
Yes.
But still, unbelievable. And I love that artsy shit. I love the backdrop of the road.
Me too.
I was just
that was awesome.
I was so stimulated. Yep. I was like, oh. And then I was crying. I always cry at, because it just.
Concerts bring something.
I know. What is it?
It wrecks your wounds.
It does.
And it opens them up. You
know
what I mean? It's like, whatever kind of scabs you have on your, those wounds inside your soul, it opens them up and it gives new birth to.
You nailed it.
To kind of healing. You know what I mean? That's why I'm addicted to seeing concerts. I don't want to always be on the road because I need to have that experience as well as deliver that experience when I perform, you know?
I was on the road in Australia. I saw Tracy Chapman.
Oh,
dude,
my favorites.
High five.
High five
she
again.
Sounds better
she's
in person.
Incredible.
And she's flawless on her CDs.
Yep.
And it's like, how can someone. No. She's even better in concert. She's not a great performer.
I agree.
But amazing voice. Yep. I'm just, my mouth was open the whole time going, holy crap.
She's the real deal. I've seen her twice. She's incredible. Just an amazing writer and artist.
And her guns? Are you kidding me? I thought Tina Turner had guns.
Let's talk about you, Lang.
No, I'm still. I got notes.
Let's rattle them off.
If I'm planning a trip anywhere, I usually Google where I'm going to go, and then I'll wait for the pop-ups to get the deals. I'm beating the system, baby.
That's smart.
So way ahead, ahead in advance. Of the game. Yes. Let's see, spying with the cell. I usually put something over my cell when I'm sleeping, and then when I get up in the morning and I change, that camera does not see me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
But it's crazy that it can do that.
It's creepy.
Weird. It's creepy.
Ugh, Chris Cornell.
Dude.
Nothing compares to you.
Yeah, great.
Billie Jean.
I love that.
All of his solo stuff. Yep. It's amazing.
Yep, I agree.
And then I didn't realize, and then I started Googling and playing, and I'm like, oh, that song, and then that song.
What about Seasons from the Singles soundtrack? I love that song. I mean, he's just a badass.
I know.
Great voice, and you know what? The sad thing is, like, nobody was with him when he needed, you know, like,
yeah.
That's the sad thing about kind of being an artist sometimes, is like, you make so many people happy, and sometimes what a lot of artists go through is when they really need somebody, nobody's around. You know
exactly.
What I mean? It's really weird. It's really strange.
And you were mentioning the cell phones, and I feel it's making us more isolated. How many times were you at home scrolling besides being out with people?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
All the time.
It's just, and it's become a part of my own. Like, sometimes when I'm creating, I make it a moment to, like, no, I'm not going to touch my phone.
Yeah.
But now I also find that, like, I will have an idea that will make me look for something to write about, and midst search for that idea, I'm scrolling through other stuff, emails or other text messages or other things that take me out of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to limit that, but it's very difficult because stuff gets thrown at you all the time. You know what I mean?
And so we're being overstimulated. Yes. I notice that I'm getting more antsy.
Yep.
I get angry.
Yep. Yep. If you drink coffee like I do, then it's a bad combination.
You need like a broomstick to bite, you know?
Oh, I know. I know. That might be a weird cure for all of this. Lang Parker, we are so excited to have you. So
Thank you. Tell us,
you've been performing all over the country and the world, right?
Yes, I have.
You've been hustling like a hustler.
I'm a hustler.
Yeah.
And I like to say road warrior.
I love that.
I got so many miles on my car, dude. Oh my God. I got a 2-year-old car. I already have 67,000 miles on it.
Oh my God.
67. That's and I bought crazy. It in late in 2015. Late. It wasn't early, like January. It was already halfway. So a year and a half, I've already gotten that many miles
That's
on it.
That's crazy. Tell us the craziest places you've performed.
A mental ward.
Whoa. Really? What state?
Ward. Here.
What?
In San Pedro. No, not San, it wasn't San, that was the federal prison. That was another one. Federal prison state, it was on San Pedro, Terminal Island, performed there. That was federal prison. And then I performed in a mental ward, but it was here in California. I'm not sure exactly what city. But
Did people get your jokes? Or are they kind of like in their own head, like, just giving you creepy
was
looks?
It
like you're like
male inmates or women?
Yes. Male.
Ooh, it's like, what's his name?
Freddy Krueger? No.
No.
Anthony Hopkins.
The famous country
singer.
Oh,
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah.
Except with mental patients. That's a whole other level.
Yeah, it's a
no,
whole
he was
different
San
level.
Quentin.
It's a serious
no?
head
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
Yes. That was, he had a little glazed look on him a little bit, you know? But they got it.
Yeah.
They were there. But
I'm sure you were like relief for some of the anguish they're going through mentally. You know
Maybe,
what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, no, you have to be. I mean, you're telling jokes.
I don't give myself that much
No,
credit.
No, but they were probably, I can already tell you're full of life.
They were
the
probably
comedy, you know?
So heavily medicated.
They did have a glazed look.
Numb, like,
so they got the jokes an hour later.
Yeah.
Right.
The next morning.
I was with them, right?
They're like really
later.
Slow.
That's funny. That's funny.
Exactly.
Now, what made you want to do that?
Why not?
Just to try something. You're like, I'm going to try this on every audience.
I am a big believer. I lost my father a year and a half ago. And then
you were saying that. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. We're all heading that direction.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then 2 months later, I lost two best friends. Not best friends, but very good friends.
Yeah.
In a plane crash.
Oh, my God.
So I did three eulogies in 3 months. And I have an idea now about life.
Yes.
It's like, look, experience.
Gives you that perspective.
Yeah.
I lost my best friend 10 months ago.
Sorry.
The closest, like, kick to the gut and heart. And it just rocks your world in such a shitty way. You know?
But hopefully it gives you some light of maybe learning lessons quicker than waiting on your deathbed.
Oh, yeah.
We hope.
Absolutely.
So I'm just a big believer of doing things at least once. Not crazy, too crazy of things, but at least we're here and experience as much as you can, because I'm not coming back. I'm not a crazy religious person, but yeah. It's like, look, this is it. So
you're not going to come back as a hummingbird?
No. But I'm going to experience as much as possible.
Yeah. And so that experience, you were like, you know what? Instead of
going
on that, instead of that Hawaiian vacation, I'm going to go to a men's award.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell them the best jokes they've ever heard.
All right, I'm going to let you know. I'm not trying to be funny. It's
no,
just, I'm
give us the
very real.
Real.
Okay.
Yeah.
And probably going to get flack for this, but I don't care. I don't care what people think. I'm at that. Good. I'm really like the enraged part of. I don't care what people think. Okay. but they sure got an opinion about shit. Anyway, right. So. I did this. I have no proof. I should have took pictures, maybe. I don't know, but I put on a pair of Depends, and I pissed myself to see what it was like, because I have a choice right now.
Right.
I won't have a choice later. So I wanted to see what it's like to do it when I have a choice. It was the strangest feeling. Ooh. I'm going to tell you, it was... I didn't crap, but I just went number one, and it was crazy. But
you didn't have the full experience.
Well, no, I got to draw a line somewhere. But
I wonder if it's easier for men or for women to do.
Oh man, I don't think it's easier for either. I think it's just a shitty situation all the way around. Pun intended. I mean, really. That's you know what. Your life goals and my life goals.
Yes, different. I know. I'm a little.
I'm like, I want to fly a plane. You're like, I really want to know what Depends feels like now. So, how'd it go?
it was interesting. It just was the weirdest sensation. I can't really describe it. It's very warm, and it just feels weird and heavy, and it's like, I'm not looking forward to that. Let's just say that. Yeah. It's not going to be fun. Yeah. It's not.
Getting old is, it's just whack.
It sucks. And no one ever says anything. They don't prep you for that or death.
Nope.
It's like, oh, heaven,
neither gets easier.
Hell, whatever, and we don't, no one talks about grieving or...
Yeah.
Any of that. They just, it's all brushed under. Like like I was talking with my father before he passed about death and stuff, and I was asking him questions about things that no one would talk about.
Right, right.
So
Like what? Like, yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, I asked him, I remember specifically, we were in the living room, and I said, Dad, I said, no, and he was old school. You have to preface things. Like, Dad, we're talking about this. I don't like it talking about this.
Right.
But, and I don't want it to happen, but we have to talk about it. He's like, all right. I said, what would you want to be buried in? Wow. He's like, well, there's three suits in the closet. Pick one out. And I go, okay.
That makes sense.
I didn't know. Right. I would have put him in his farmer overhauls, his suspenders, and called it a day. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so we talked about that, and then... I have this in my act, but it's a true story. We were talking. I said, "Well, Dad," I said, "you want to be buried, okay? You in a casket." He was the kind of he believed like in the way the Indians do, not the dot, the feather, of like you plant a seed, God makes it grow, kind of like that mentality.
Yeah.
And not a religious man. He's like, "All right, I just want to be buried." I go, "Okay." And he goes, well, what do you want to have done to you when you die? And I go, well, I want to be cremated, stuffed in a firework, and then blown off. And then without skipping a beat, he says, you want a blow job? Well,
you're like, well,
maybe that's
true. Yeah.
But I mean, we're talking about these things, you know? Right. And I said, Dad, do you also have your will all figured out and stuff? Yeah. And I go, I don't want to know what's in it. I don't care. Right. I don't care.
Right.
But do you have everything done? He goes, yep. I go, okay. That's basically all we have to talk about.
Right. That's tough. That's a tough road to kind of go down. It's like, I think about it all the time because I'm very close with my parents and my brother. And it's like, it's just something I never want to kind of go through. And having lost my best friend... It was like one of those. It kicks your door down. It kicks your door down and rocks the foundation that you're standing on. And it's really hard to kind of bounce back from that sometimes. But it also does make you appreciate the days that you are given sometimes that we take for granted.
Yeah.
And you know what? 6 months later, you may have a bad day and not realize that you should still be grateful for that day. And it's hard to see that sometimes.
It is, especially like today driving. And I'm like, you know, that white flash bomb could go off right now. And I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care.
Right.
I just get so, I hate world sometimes. Just use your damn blinker, please. That's all.
You know what?
Isn't that crazy, stupid shit like that just enrages you?
That's not stupid shit at all. I find myself having road rage all the time, especially in LA. It's like, use your blinker. You can use your blinker.
Yeah. And get off your phone and not four car lengths ahead of you. Just, I want to go to point A to point B. Just come on.
I feel like there should be two lanes.
Yes.
People that, like, literally just want to get there.
Yeah.
And then people that don't care how they get there. Like, if you don't care how you get there, cool. Let's give you a lane that we never have to deal with each other. Totally cool.
But you know what?
I know you've already seen this parallel.
Uh-huh.
But it's the same people walking in crowds. And that's what drives me crazy.
Right? But remember, you're the a-hole if you pass them. Like, I hike a lot.
Right.
And I hug trees to get rid of the anger, you know. And you have these people and you pass them. It's like a road. Stay to your right.
Yep.
And left is passing.
Oh, no.
I hate that.
And then when you pass them, this one woman said, I passed her. Because I like to work out, you know.
Yeah.
I want to get my sweat on, not this leisure. Oh, look at the bird. That's
absolutely
lovely.
Yeah.
I pass people, and I'm respectful. I go, on your left, and I pass them. And then one woman said, oh, I must be going not fast enough. And I go, no, you go on your own time. I don't care. Take your time. I want to go fast.
Yes.
It doesn't make me wrong. It doesn't make you wrong.
No, absolutely.
It's like going up and down, what's it called, moving stairs.
Oh, yeah,
escalator. I'm the kind of person who keeps on walking, even though it's moving, going up or down. So, you know, stay to the right, move to the right, and let me pass. But there's always someone who will kind of leisurely, you know, move to the left and just lean on the conveyor.
It's actually, like, really frowned upon if you are on the left.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can't
you let people,
it's weird how we can't, like, put that into our society. It's like,
It's not that difficult.
It's not difficult. But it's just like little things go a long way. And
it would cut down on traffic. It would make life easier.
No, I find when I'm walking in a crowded area, when I see
like
how people
concert.
Walk. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what made me think of it.
Yeah.
I literally saw somebody walk. I saw them from like maybe 10, 20 feet around. And instead of walking in a straight line, they literally did an S curve.
Yeah. Oh. Yes.
And then literally stopped and did a Q and walked right by me. And I was just
I saw the same person.
Oh my God.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck was that?
I know.
Was I on something?
It's like, where's your head,
it's
dude?
It's just a circle.
Yeah.
You're just walking around a circle.
Was the person wearing a helmet? I'd put one on him.
Oh, yeah. No, I absolutely. And it's like,
but I'm the a-hole.
I'm always like, you know, I'm going to sit by the aisle. Because if I can find an aisle seat, that's nice. It's like comfortable. But how many people do not sit in their seats?
No.
It's like you're sitting in the concert. I mean, there was like three or four people that got up probably five or six times during the concert. I'm like, dude, are you here to get up? Or are you?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
How many times you got to pee?
How
many times?
I know.
Where are you going?
I wanted to heckle him too, but I can't. I'm like so polite in those situations that I just like want to scream at people.
Yeah.
It's like,
I just enjoy the concert.
I agree.
Sit your ass down
and
watch.
Yep.
Enjoy and quit texting.
And
who are you texting?
I almost feel like it's like, hey, let's put all those people that sit together, like that want to just sit.
Yeah.
Let's put them all in the same section. And then the other people, you can all just be like ants moving all over each other and just getting in and out. But it'll never
I was at a Sting concert at the
Greek. Sting. Another high five.
He's just sexy.
Yeah, he's a
beast. I was there. We were sitting. I got great seats. We were right in front, you know, like 10, 15 rows back. And you could tell it was industry night. Everybody was sitting. You know, a lot of his music at that, well, I don't remember what album he was playing majority of, but it was like you get up and move and groove and dance.
Yeah.
My friend and I were the only ones standing and dancing. Everybody else was seated.
Yeah. And they're probably like, sit down.
Exactly. And I'm like, I paid $200 for these tickets. My ass is not going to sit here. This isn't like a jazz concert or an opera where you sit. And guess who came over and started dancing with us?
Who? Sting?
Yeah.
Really?
He came right over and stood right in front of us and started moving like we were. And I'm
That's awesome.
Yeah. A-holes.
Awesome.
So we got to dance with Sting privately, just like one-on-one.
I like that.
Nice.
What are you thinking? Let's talk about your comedy. How did you get into comedy?
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to talk about comedy.
Yeah, that's all right. How'd you get into it?
That's the last thing I want to talk about.
What made you want to do it?
Okay, I when I was a little kid, I was talking with somebody about this, oh, like 8 or 9 years old, and my next door neighbor was watching me, babysitting me. The mother and her daughter was sitting on the couch, and they had these eyeballs that you could put on top of your eyes, and it made it look bubbly, and they were all bloodshot. And I stood in front of them, and I made a really deep voice like that. And I was acting, I was just acting like a 9, 20, a 10-year-old, whatever hell age I was. And they were on the floor. I don't know what I did, but I did something that hit their trigger. And I'm like, oh, I like that. I like that feeling.
That's awesome.
And from then on, I also was in dance. I used to dance since I've been 4 years old, ballet, tap, interpretive. So I always would do shows, recitals at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I love that, the power of performing. And
it's great.
Just, it's better
There's
than drugs.
Energy. It is.
I
it
haven't
is.
Done heroin, nor do I want to, but I, you know, it's it's a good feeling.
Yeah. No, it's. I think it's the highest, the highest form of feeling on top. Like, there's exercising, and I think performing is even higher than
that. Oh, God, just, yes. Because
there's a rush. There's a different kind of rush and a different kind of attention and different kind of precision you have as a performer, and that's what makes it so good.
It's
the
beautiful.
Better you are at it, the better the rush, the better the high. You know what I mean? It's like, but so you started this, and you decided, how did you know that you wanted to do comedy?
No, I didn't. I didn't know then. I didn't know then. I just know I had to perform. Then I moved out to California, and I was going to get into
from
Wisconsin.
Oh,
you can tell.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know there.
I mean, look at the blonde hair. And the
yeah, I'm not the anorexic.
Blue.
No,
eyes,
green.
Yeah.
Green.
Oh, okay.
I'm 3% blonde and green eyes.
Like what city in Wisconsin?
Outside of Milwaukee, Muskego.
I play Summerfest every year.
Shut up!
I'm playing Summerfest in July.
You would?
Yeah. July 2nd.
You know
I'm opening for Ziggy Marley.
What?
Yeah. Woo. Yeah.
Where are you staying? You staying at the Hyatt?
You stay at the Hyatt place in the like right next to the airport.
Yeah, that's better than way, yeah.
Oh, I love that hotel.
Yeah?
It's amazing.
Oh, I haven't been that.
I stayed at the first years I stayed at the Howard Johnson, like some Howard Johnson that was sketchy.
Yeah.
And then I found this hotel, and it's the best. Like, we ended up staying there 2 years ago, and Public Enemy also played the same year. They threw a huge party in the hotel. It was unbelievable. See, it was awesome. Nice. So that hotel has been very good to us. So.
I used to work at the Hyatt downtown Milwaukee and at the Polaris, the restaurant that we revolve around. We work there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The Bronze Fonz, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Has
Laverne
my love.
Laverne and Shirley.
There's a Bronze Fonzarelli statue in the middle of the Riverwalk in Milwaukee. How can you not love a city that does that?
It's like exactly.
The Bronze Fonz. Anyways.
Yeah.
All right. So you came from Milwaukee to L.A.
to become a dancer in videos.
Wow.
In videos.
That's awesome.
And
that's hot.
Well, and then I got to my first class because I had to, you know, get into classes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roland Dupree, Joe Tremaine. And I looked at the women that were in there and I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm 5'7". I'm 100 at that time, probably 150. And I'm like, I'm corn fed. I'm not.
Right,
this
isn't
gonna happen. This I gotta be $2. You know, I gotta be. You know, $1.25. And no, ain't gonna happen.
Corn That's crazy.
Fedness does not happen in dancing. So I'm like, what am I gonna do? So then I got into improv classes and studied with Gary Austin. That was the founder of the Groundlings. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. And then someone saw me in his class and said, hey, you should do stand up. And I'm like, I kind of knew what it was, but I'm like, I never really got into it. I mean, I listened to, I had a record of Robin Williams and someone else, I don't remember, but I didn't know the context of the, how do you do it? So he goes, just get up on, he goes, I run a room, I run the entertainment on an old people's home on Fairfax.
Hmm.
And he's like, we do always do the entertainment, just come on down there, just tell some jokes on stage. I'm like, oh, okay. I went there.
Did you rehearse anything?
No, I didn't know what to do.
Wow.
I was like, I kind of talked, you know, about Wisconsin, but I was so, I'm like, oh.
That's crazy.
I know it is.
Wow.
And I ate it.
Well, but I mean, that's anybody would do that. Anybody
right.
Would
I, do that. I should have prepared something. I took a telephone. I went up on stage and a real, not a cell phone, telephone,
right.
Rotary.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I pretend I was in my car driving. It was awful. It was awful. This is
awesome.
My cell phone. And this guy came up to me after the show and he goes, kid, keep doing what you're doing. You got great stage presence. I'm like, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Walked away. One of the ladies at work there comes running over to me, and she goes, what did that man say to you? And I go, well, I should keep doing it, and I have great stage presence. She says, you listen to that man. That was Milton Berle's brother.
Wow.
Whoa. So I kept doing it and went into classes and learned, and there you have it, and I've been doing it ever since.
That's an awesome story. That gave me chills, actually. That's amazing.
It was a good time.
And you know what? It's like, I'm amazed that you didn't think, like, maybe I should prepare something. You went in cold.
I had no idea. I was dumb.
That's like that's like public speaking. That's basically public speaking. It's not even comedy at that point.
No, it's not.
Like, that's like going up and like, hey, we want you to give you a speech at this convention. You're like, okay, I'm just going to wing it. That's crazy. But it was probably a rush for you, too.
It was, because they were so happy that someone was actually there, right, and talking to these people, even though half of them were sleeping. but they were happy someone was there.
That's crazy. That's awesome. And then what was your second show? Did you actually go up to a comedy club and you're like,
I don't remember what I did after that. It's all a blur. No, it is, because I didn't get into it right away.
Drugs just don't work.
No, right, I just kind of dabbled into it and got into more improv classes, and that helped.
Right.
To kind of really deal with an audience and stuff. So,
because it's like live art.
Yeah.
They give you a subject and you have to just like
go
imagine it.
And don't deny.
Yes.
The number one rule.
Yes.
Don't deny. Because where is the scene going to go? If you deny anything, no. Okay.
Yep.
That's all right. Scene.
Yep. That's amazing. And you know what? You're probably around a bunch of people at the Groundlings. It's like one of the greatest schools of comedy. It's one of the oldest, too.
I wasn't with them. I was just one of the teachers that did form it. And
okay.
Then he had his own classes. I'm not knocking the Groundlings. They're great. I could never afford them.
And let's I know the classes are expensive.
Let's just be honest. I'm working four jobs and keep going to the next level. What is it, a fucking pyramid scheme? Really?
That's called Scientology.
Oh, that's right. That, too. Oh, God. And that was funny because Sunday, I was walking past the Scientology building in Pasadena, and they're like, stress test? I go, I'm already stressed! I don't need to know that I'm stressed. I don't need to go on the meter. I'll break your meter. Leave me alone. She left me alone.
Yeah, I bet. And then you were like, where did you get that blue blazer?
Exactly.
So you know what? You and I were talking a little bit about the L.A. scene, and mm-hmm. you were like, I'm not a big fan. Did you ever do any, like, the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store?
I did a couple sets at the Laugh Factory, and then I've done the improv a couple of times. It all depends on certain shows, and I've done the Belly Room and the Front Room at the Comedy Store, but I never got
involved.
You
didn't like the vibe.
I don't like it. I don't like, and this has
it's
nothing.
A little artificial.
And when you say something, people are going to take it and interpret the way they want, so it, again,
makes you want to punch yourself in the face.
Yes! Yes!
I know.
You can say something and they will twist it to say, oh, you're too good enough. I go, no, that's not what I said.
Yeah.
And I'll say, this is what I'll say. I don't want to hang around with a bunch of comics.
Yeah.
And try to get in to get time. I want time.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe I wasn't good enough. Okay. But I'm not going to hang around with a bunch of comics. I want to learn. I want to be with somebody that's 10 times better than me.
Right.
And learn something.
Yeah.
I don't want to hang out with my fellow comic.
Right.
I don't. And it has no offense to anybody.
Right, right.
But
it's like wasting your time.
Yes.
It's like battering the bunny around, basically.
And that's why I don't really perform in L.A. that much. I do, but I don't. You know, I love the shows that I do.
Right.
And I've created my own show, which is every first Wednesday.
Plug time.
Yeah, please. This is what it's about.
First Wednesday of every month at the Ye Olde King's Head in Santa Monica, 8 o'clock, free.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes, it's a little side room. It's where the King's...
Can I tell you something very special? I know exactly where it is.
I love the King's Head.
My friend who passed away...
Yes.
We got fake IDs when we were 15.
Yes.
The first bar we ever went to was Ye Olde King's Head.
Wow.
I have a very special place in my heart for
That's
that
awesome.
Bar. Because two 15-year-olds walked in there and...
Sweet. And they have a great fish and chips.
Yeah. And it's an awesome bar. And
it
it's
is.
Like legit
And the old, one
drinks.
Of the oldest. It's legit. It's
yeah.
been there the longest and they cannot get rid of it, which is great. That's like, yeah, it's
a
landmark.
Staple. It's a staple.
Leave
now.
It.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes.
It's a great venue.
Yeah, and it's free.
That's, you know
what?
It's
me to pay
That's
it
nice.
Forward. I want to keep laughter going.
Yes.
And a lot of great comics come in there.
We need that.
Exactly.
We need that. Laughter, to me, the funny thing is, you know, people are always like, oh, you must love music. I'm like, I love music. But laughing is my number one.
See, I want to be you, though.
Laughing is my number one.
The power of music. Oh, but I mean, you felt it. And you, too. Yeah, but
laughing
felt
is,
it.
Yeah, but laughing's the only thing that, even when it hurts, it's because it feels so good. Laughing, when you laugh
but
so hard,
I bawl my
it hurts.
Eyes. Oh, I know. I don't laugh at music, but man, do I cry.
Oh, yeah.
Release.
You release those emotions, but it's a heavy thing. But when you're laughing so hard and you're crying and your gut's hurting, it's because it's so good. It's never bad. That's what I love about
that's
laughing.
That's the way Bill
no
Burr,
pain.
He does that to me.
Oh,
I
he's
love
so
him.
Funny. Me
Joe
too.
Rogan. I just.
You got to my next question. Who are your biggest influences? Current or old timey?
I'm old timey. I love the Carol Burnett, the Lucy.
Yeah.
The
she was amazing, especially for the time period. My goodness.
Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
Bill Burr, Joe Rogan. All the and the one that just passed, Don Rickles.
Oh yeah. You know, I wanted to see him live. That was my one.
I've seen him a couple times. Loved it. I saw him the last time, which was he didn't open. It was. Double bill, Joan Rivers and him.
I actually bought tickets to see, this is kind of a funny story. I bought tickets to see Don Rickles in December of 2015, okay? No, 2013 or 14.
Yeah.
For a January show. It's like a Gold Star thing. I bought the tickets.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, awesome. I want to see Don Rickles. Go to the venue, realize the tickets were for the following year.
Oh,
I mean, it was like, I was like, at the venue, there was no show, and it said, Don Rickles, January 20th, 2016. And I was like, this is the show, tonight's, oh my God, it's the wrong year. By a year, they'd sold the tickets and a month away, and I thought I was buying them for the next month. And then I didn't get to see him because I had a conflict, and so I had to give up the tickets, and then he passed. So I'm like, Don Rickles played a joke on me. He's one of my favorites.
I loved him. He's very funny.
He's the classy, old school comic.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who else?
Robin Williams. Oh, are you kidding me? I met him up in Mill Valley, Throckmorton.
Wow.
I'll never forget it as long as I live. 45
Dude.
Minutes, I talked to him. He played with my dog. My dog
oh,
loved
my
him.
God.
He loved my dog. I have a video of it. It's awesome. It was the best moment of my life.
Wow. You have got to post that.
Maybe.
You're like, it's the best moment of my life.
No.
Nobody will ever get to share.
Well, see, part of it is it's only mine. You know, it's like I had great conversations with my dad that I only got.
Yeah.
And then some of it is going to be on stage.
Right.
Those conversations. And then, but the thing is, I know I say I don't care, but there's certain things I'm like, I want to post it, but I don't want anybody to say, oh, look it, she's trying to sit there. And, you know those people. And it's like no, it's not.
It's just like, go fuck yourself.
Well, exactly. If you know me, you're not, you know that I'm not vindictive or trying to cash in or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's, so you die, you do if you do, you don't die if you don't, or whatever that damn phrase is.
Well, real quick, do we have any clips? Do we have
yes.
a clip? I want to play a clip of you. Yeah, I want to play a clip of you.
All right.
Here goes nothing.
And what do you do?
I stand on my head on a bar stool.
Uh-huh. Now, is this something that you accidentally found out you could do, or?
No, my mom used to own a bar, and at 4 years old, I had to entertain myself, so I started doing a headstand on a bar stool.
Wow. That's better than starting drinking at four.
Exactly.
All right, well, do we have a bar stool, somebody? We do. Look at that. Got that right out of my dressing room, and of course, my bar. Let's see what happens here, Lang.
Okay.
All right.
So she's actually doing a headstand on a bar stool. Yeah.
Blowing my mind.
Yeah, there you have it.
You know what? Why didn't we have all bar stools at this show tonight? Nice.
That was not me farting.
No, that was another video.
That's too funny. How did you come up with that? That's crazy.
I always wanted to seek attention as a kid. I wasn't getting enough. I have three older brothers, and I'm adopted, so I needed even more attention.
You're like, bring it to me.
Exactly. Please. And my dad always would kind of push it in that direction. He's like, yeah, just, you know, because I was always running around as a kid and cartwheels and headstands and all that. And he goes, here, do a headstand on the bar stool. So I'm like, well, to seek father's attention, one must do this.
Yes.
So I started doing it, and but I did it even more difficult. The bar stool with a back on it. Ooh. So I had one arm up high, and then the hand on the where you put your butt, and then did the headstand there.
How did you practice that? Because that's just crazy.
Well, he was standing next to me, but I did it. I don't know. I just got really good balance.
That's ridiculous.
It's fun.
You're like, it's fun.
Yeah.
Once again, your fun and my fun, very different. I'm like, let's go to a movie. You're like, I'm going to stand on my head. Because that's what I do.
On a bar stool.
On a bar stool. So how many months out of the year are you on the road?
I wish I was more. I've been trying to seek more. I'm not a lot. I can't. That's 100 maybe.
That's a lot.
No, it's not.
100 to 300 is a lot. It's a lot of. That's a third of your year.
See, I don't think that's enough.
Let me put it to you like this.
Okay,
most musicians, most huge musicians,
yeah,
if they're really aggressive, tour 42 dates out of the year. 42. That's a whole summer. That's 10 weeks of solid touring. 42 shows. You're doing 100. You're doing double.
No,
that
plus, I don't think then it's that much. It just feels... I can definitely say it's at least... 1 week in or 1 week per month. But lately it's been like a couple weeks. I'm going to Calgary June 1st or 2nd. No, the festival is June 1st to the 11th. I'll be there the 3rd through the 8th.
Why didn't you just say you're
going to be there? I know. But the festival, you know, the festival's going on from the 1st.
You're like,
to the
11th. I want to promote the festival on the days that I'm not there. Too.
Yeah, right. I'm a giver. What can
that's
I say?
Good. That's
and that's
good.
What gets me in trouble. But I'll be in Calgary like this next weekend. I'll be in Tahoe.
That's awesome.
So I'm just trying to
Where are you performing in Tahoe?
The Hard Rock Hotel.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's
not enough because I don't know where my next gig is. I'm like,
Yeah, but that's, you know what? There's something cool about that. Honestly, you know, musicians, when I was in my 20s, I used to have serious anxiety. Like, I don't know what my next gig is.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, cool, I'm not booked. Anything can happen.
All right, I'll try anything that attitude. I'll try that attitude.
And you know what? I'll tell you. Anything has happened when I least expect it. The best things in my life as a performer, as a musician, and I've been booking myself from day one, has happened out of the blue. It's never been like, okay, I planned this. Okay, this is going to be amazing.
Well, I have done that. I've called or Facebook, I should say, like comics that I know through the Facebook, and I'm like, hey, I'll open for you. I'll feature. Yeah. I don't care. I want to work.
Yes, yes.
And I ended up doing that. Yeah. I was in Omaha, Nebraska at the Funny
Why don't you just hang out with comics at the Comedy Store?
Right. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, yeah, because that's what I want to do.
Yeah, seriously.
You're not getting any work.
Yeah.
Do
you do like comedy clubs strictly, or do you do corporate parties, colleges, everything?
I don't do colleges because of that new thing that's going around about being too PC and I just
like I want to swear,
clubs.
I want to corrupt.
Yeah, I just you know I like clubs and taverns, bars, wherever they'll put me and pay me. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean all those students at the fraternity is getting drunk and
exactly.
raping other women,
right.
Yeah.
But you
right.
can't swear
no,
at them?
No, not at all. No.
Cool.
You
I love America.
You can't challenge their mind. You can't question them on things because, no.
It's too much for them to handle.
Exactly. Or, millennials. We need a timeout. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to wait for our exam.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you met Ellen DeGeneres on that show.
Yeah.
That must have been cool. It's a female comedian.
Mm-hmm.
She did a lot for female comedians.
Yeah, she did.
It's pretty amazing.
She's one of the pave the way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still old school.
And you're like,
I'm
standing on my head.
Right, exactly. But I'm still, it was the Phyllis Dillers, them. Yeah. I'm not dissing her, Ellen, but I'm just saying it's...
You're more old school, and I'm like that too. You just did a project recently that you were talking to me about.
I am doing a mockumentary, and it's with Bruce Baum, Greg Proops, Phil Lamar, Lana Baron, John Copeland, and Jeff Davis.
Can you say that 10 times really fast?
Bruce Baum, Greg... Okay.
Say the initial.
Yes.
Exactly. And we're starting to shoot that at the end of the month and then into June, and hopefully it'll be done at the end of the year.
That's awesome.
Mockumentary, and I'm so excited.
Tell me, are you allowed to tell us the premise?
I can't.
You're like, signed an NDA.
I can mention that we're working.
Right.
But I can't get into any details.
That's cool.
Yeah, politics.
Good to work.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Feels good.
Current events? What's that?
All of the above.
Yeah. All the above.
It's going to take place at a concert.
Yeah.
Just kidding. That's terrible. Bad joke. I'm an ass.
With a Sting cover band.
That's right. Well, where can people find you?
Langcomedy.com.
Spell it out because people are dumb. We both know this.
I know. Is that terrible?
Spell it out.
LANGcomedy.com.
And spell that card.
Do you have your first name because of your Asian roots or what? I've never.
My real name? You want me to know my real name?
Yeah, what's your real
name? My real name is Jean Marie Lang.
That's awesome.
But somebody else in SAG is Jean Lang. Obviously, she's not working.
She's like, fine.
So I had to change my name. So it's Lang Parker. Lang is my last name, and Parker is the street I
lived on. But at least you didn't change it to, like, oh, I'm just going to be Genevieve now, like a lot of people do.
No.
Like Bob Dylan, you know what his real name is?
No, Bob Zimmerman.
Rob Zimmerman.
Rob?
Yeah. Really?
Robert Zimmerman, yeah. Robert.
Oh,
yeah,
that was a good call.
What about Sting?
Oh, yes, it's not. Yes.
It's Gordon Sumner.
Ew!
It's like, that's his real name.
Hi, Gordon.
Bono and the Edge.
Paul Hanson. David Evans.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. Isn't
that
crazy?
It is.
Yeah. So it's. I like when people actually are like, yeah, I took this name of my name to make my name.
Right, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's so funny when they, like you know, when The Edge was like, guys, I want you to call me The Edge.
But he's not. He's like the safest guitar player. Really? Let's just be honest. He's not The Edge.
But I love it, too. I love it, too. That's show business.
Yeah,
you know? You gotta come out with, like, show business.
And I think Phyllis was the one that said this, Phyllis Diller. The business is you must acquire the taste of a shit sandwich because you're going to get a lot of it.
Yes.
So acquire that taste because they're coming hard and fast.
Yes.
So yum.
Yeah. But you know what? That's what makes you better.
It does. And I don't want this easy cream rises.
Yes. And you know what? I also think it makes you savor the triumphs, the successes. Because I've opened for people and seen people that take for granted their success, whereas, like, I really savor all the great things that have happened along the way because you earn it. You are dragged through the mud for a long time.
The crappy hotels, and when you stay at that Hyatt, you're like,
Oh, you know what's so funny? It's like somebody was asking me, like, what's it like touring? I'm like, well, now I get my own room.
It's like, you're right.
It started with, like, sharing a floor with all the bandmates on one hotel room or a friend's house. And now it's like, oh, it's nice when everybody gets their room. Or it's like, you know.
Or you had to walk over to another hotel to get their free breakfast and say, yeah, I'm staying here. And then walk back to your shit motel. Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I have stories.
The artist way. Yeah, but it's just funny. As you get more things going, it's like, oh, things get a little bit easier. But you know what? It's like the hunger to be good stays the same.
Yeah, it does.
That's what's cool. It's like, but a lot of it comes with not having those ridiculous amounts of success. Because a lot of people that have those ridiculous amounts of success, then they start really sucking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But
you
I
know
still
exactly
I,
what I mean.
But I don't understand why there's that change, that moment of change.
It's complacency. Like,
but the meanness of it and the demands and all that.
I'll be honest. I'm a diehard Sting fan.
Oh, I've heard stories.
But his last couple records have been meh.
Yeah.
And, like, he's working in the top of his game, top people. And I know tons of people like that. The John Legends, even Michael Jackson's last record was
meh.
When he has the budget, can work with anybody he dreams of.
Challenge yourself. Yeah. I mean, that's my FM. Challenge yourself and give me something.
But there's something that's lost. It's like there's this drive that's lost. There's this beauty of if I can just do this. Once you do that, what's next?
I feel the same way with chefs. There's like Wolfgang Puck. Mm-hmm. Love it. I loved his pizzas. I loved what he did. But to me, it's like, okay, now I want you to.
He's not innovating in the same
He's
way.
Not. No, yeah, he's not.
In the
and he's retired.
Now.
You know, he's in the industry. Yeah. He's, you know, now he's.
And industry. Yeah, he prepared meals and.
But I want.
Frozen
I want
the
that
dinners.
Teach me some. Yep. Give me something special you got on, you know, that you're creating.
You love all the same things I do. Good music,
I
good
love
food,
food,
and comedy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Me too. I mean, I wear. I wear. You go over your hike.
So, okay, so before we finish. Most embarrassing moment.
Good question.
Oh, see, I was going to make a
or,
list.
Or the crappiest place.
What's it going to be?
God. Most embarrassing.
God, it was your most embarrassing moment?
Yeah.
And I would say embarrassing, but it was odd. I was up in Montana performing, and this guy stood at the end of the stage and just stared at me. And it was in a bar area. No one was going to remove him. And it was packed. It was smoke. You could not see to the end of the bar. It was just it was disgusting. But the guy just stood there, and I'm like, and I was way in the early years. I was like,
what do I do?
So you're right. And so then finally, I got off, and then the headliner came on, and I later find out that that guy was an inmate released back into society.
Wow.
And he was there, and he's like trying to get back into society. I'm like, that's what you maybe should do. No one told him.
This is not working.
He needs to go back.
Probably released earlier than they.
Apparently.
He hasn't been with a woman for a very long time.
It was very... Yeah.
All that awaits in Montana.
You had me in Montana.
Right! Yes!
Montana, we love you. It's a great place to visit.
Yes.
But not to live. Well, Lang, you've been an amazing, amazing guest. You have to come back. We definitely want you to come back.
I will. I would love to. I love gabbing, and I don't like being on TV. I like this, where I can just wear a baseball cap.
One more time, where can people find you if they want to book you, if they want to
find
your comedy?
Yes, it's Lang, L-A-N-G, comedy.com. Also, Lang Comedy on Twitter. My schedule is on my website. Go to my website, check it out. I also like photography, and I take all my pictures and my ideas and I post them, and some are risque, some are crazy, some are artsy-fartsy, but that's what I like, and I see, and I'm very visual, and that U2 concert was awesome, with the visual effects. It was great. And I heard that was actually underproduced of all of them.
Yes.
Like, Octoon was off the chart.
Yep.
This was, like, very minimal.
Yep.
I got to go maybe see him again.
You got to see him again.
I should do. I should definitely go and see him.
It's just unbelievable. The best band in the world.
And then this weekend, I'm going to be in Lake Tahoe at the Hard Rock Hotel. And then I'm going to be in Calgary. Those Canadians are hot, by the way. Oh, my good men.
Get your game on.
Oh, God. I got to get something going here. I'm in heat. Okay. Langcomedy.com. Check me out. Say hi. And there you have it. And live life, people. It's
You're awesome.
Way too short.
You're awesome. We wish you nothing but success.
Thank you.
Come back and visit us. Lang Park, everybody, on behalf of Ronan and I, we'll see you guys next week.
Yep. And don't forget to subscribe. Subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, get the podcast. You'll enjoy all the past shows. What's that, 2 years?
Yeah, past 2 years.
Okay.
Or more, maybe. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Wake up, Hollywood.